Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. Another great show for you guys today. We continue our NL West previews. We've looked at the Dodgers, the Padres. We've looked at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Today, we dive into the San Francisco Giants. Maybe talk a little Golden State Warriors as well. Mark Willard standing by, going to get his thoughts on the teams out there in the Bay Area. Also, we got round one of the Genesis Invitational teeing off here in a few minutes out at Torrey Pines. We're going to look at some live three balls, maybe some good betting opportunities there. March Madness continue to draw closer and closer. We'll look at some glossatology, break down some of the projected 7, 8, 9 seeds, some of the teams I like and don't like as we start gearing towards March. Lucy Burge going to join us later on in the show, break down Alex Bregman going to the Boston Red Sox. Then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any thoughts that you guys have for us, make sure you follow us at the BetMGM Network. You can go to YouTube, you can go to Twitch, X to watch the show. And if you miss anything over the next 30 minutes, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Mark Willard joins us. Make sure you guys give Mark a follow on X at @Mark_T_Willard, host on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. Make sure you check out his show, Willard and Dibs, 2 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, weekdays, Monday through Friday. Mark, great having you back on the show, man. Before we talk about the San Francisco Giants, I think what's tough about being a Giants fan is the division that you guys play in. You obviously got the reigning World Series champion Dodgers. You got the Padres, who are going to be awesome again. We were talking about the D-backs yesterday. They might be a playoff team. Like, man, when you look at this division, just how brutal is it for the Giants?
Well, it pretty brutal, although I would sort of whittle it down to one. Like, it's okay to have good other teams in the division. I think that you want that. You're always going to get that to a degree. The Dodgers are such an interesting thing right now across baseball. And when you are their rival, and when that fan base has to stare at just that constant flow of deferred money and big names and a lineup that just doesn't quit, it's different this year than it normally is. There's always sort of that rivalry and that gets your angst going. But this year, the fan base almost has to battle this like fait accompli, like we can't compete type thing, which is really not the norm in a market like this and for a franchise like this.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you can see the odds if you guys are watching us on Twitch, YouTube, or X. Dodgers, big favorites to win the NL West. The Giants are 30-1. Let's talk about the Giants, Mark. And it's real interesting, this pitching staff, right? You got Logan Webb, who's been the ace in San Francisco now for a good amount of years. They pick up Justin Verlander in the offseason. Robbie Ray comes back from injury. You do lose Blake Snell to the aforementioned Dodgers. But what do you make of this pitching staff? To me, it feels like they have a lot of potential high upside, but they're certainly relying on a couple of key pieces who are either older or coming back from injury.
No doubt, no doubt. There are a couple guys we have to look at it and go, fingers crossed, right? Is Robbie Ray going to be healthy? Is he going to look like he has in the past? Fingers crossed. Justin Verlander is 42 years old, but he says he feels better than he has in 5 years. Fingers crossed. Jordan Hicks put on some extra weight and said last year was kind of like a trial run as a starter. First half as a starter, second half he was a reliever, but now he's put on extra weight and says trial run's over. I'm a starter and I'm ready to go. Kyle Harrison, guy who has a lot of hope and promise around him, says they fixed some things with his delivery. He's healthier. His velocity is back where it was supposed to be. It had fallen down to about 93 last year. He wants to be in the high 90s. But you're right. Outside of Logan Webb, it's a bunch of fingers crossed. And then there's a bunch of names I didn't mention, which are younger guys who are coming up. They do have some farmhands who they believe they want to create a runway for them, and they believe they might turn into something. But yeah, they're going to need two or three of those maybes to be yeses for things to go well.
No question. And then, Mark, also looking at the batting order, you know, for so long it's been Buster Posey, it's been Brandon Crawford, it's been Pablo Sandoval, right? Brandon Belt, these guys who were in San Francisco forever. Last couple years, the Giants have kind of welcomed this, like, new wave of players. Who do you think is the guy looking at this year's team that the Giants really need, that they're really counting on to have a big 2025 season?
I'd love to give you one name, but I'm going to kind of give you two, and it's because I think both of these young outfielders really need to do something. Elliot Ramos came up late last year, and when I say late, I mean like it was a couple months into the season, but still did enough to be an all-star as a rookie. He needs to sort of corroborate that. He needs to do it again and show that he can be a middle-of-the-order presence alongside the left side of their infield, their new acquisition in Willy Adames, and obviously Matt Chapman, who's now signed up long-term as well. But the guy the organization will tell you might be the linchpin for all of this was one of their big signings last year, and we only saw him for about 40 games before he got hurt and missed the rest of the season, which is their young center fielder, Jung-Hoo Lee. The fan base really took to him. He looks like a plus outfielder and their leadoff hitter. His numbers were pretty good in those 40 games. He looked like he can handle it. They're really trumpeting how the lineup will be different, assuming they can have him for a full year.
Do you think there are any guys maybe who aren't getting talked about a lot right now? You mentioned a couple of them, but maybe guys that you think could have a breakout year. Like maybe Jung-Ho Lee's one of those guys, but do you think like Lamont Wade could take the next step? Do you think Matt Chapman returns to maybe his Oakland A's form that we saw some years ago? Like, is there a guy in that lineup that maybe people don't have too high expectations that you think maybe could have a breakout year?
Well, I'll give you one name who is the real wild card here, and it's the position on the field that's the wild card too, and it's second base. And they're going to use a young kid named Tyler Fitzgerald, who also came up last year, went into double digits in home runs, and I think kind of surprised everybody. There were some other middle infielders that the organization has been tracking to be the future, and they didn't work out so well, and this guy came up, and he looked like he had the factor, you know? And so he played a lot of shortstop last year, but now they've signed Adames, so they're going to move him over to second base, create a runway for him to actually be the starter and see if he can, same as Elliot Ramos, do what he did last year. He's got a little swagger to him. He's a fast player. He's an exciting player. We just don't know if he's really got those big league goods. But if he can do that again, then they start to flirt with having like a real lineup that has some depth to it.
Mark, right now the Giants are about plus 250 to make the postseason. Even though the National League is loaded, do you think that would be worth a bet on San Francisco to make the playoffs this year?
I do. With the expanded playoffs, I really do. Like, it's a team that at worst, if things don't go well, and this is what has happened the last couple of years, they'll hover around 500. But I always look at teams like that when it comes to where you can get really good numbers, because it's like, man, again, if some of those maybes go the right way, they're really only like, you know, flip six of those losses into wins, and you're starting to really get into that wild card conversation. And now with the experience at the top of the pitching staff, Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, if those guys stay healthy and perform the way they have in the past, pitching and defense wins, and the Giants, I think, have a better shot at that formula than they have the last couple of years.
Really good stuff on the Giants, Mark. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about the Warriors. Obviously, got the NBA All-Star Game in the Bay Area coming up this weekend. They make the big acquisition, getting Jimmy Butler at the trade deadline. Golden State's trying to go all in with Steph, right? They're trying to maximize the few years that he has left, kind of playing this level of basketball. What'd you think of the move to get Jimmy? And do you think that the Warriors potentially could be a sleeper maybe in the Western Conference?
I don't know if I would yet call them sleeper. It's funny because there was all this optimism because they get Jimmy Butler, they win two games, and then last night, they played Dallas with no Anthony Davis and none of their big men, and they lose the game. And Kyrie goes off, and now everybody's like, oh gosh, they're a disappointment again. The yin yang of it is kind of funny, but I think they're a better team than they were last week, and I also think some of the other teams are cratering around them mentally. You know, Dallas loses Anthony Davis for a while. The Phoenix locker room is a mess. They can't win a game. Sacramento loses De'Aaron Fox. And those are the teams that they were battling to kind of get into that 6-7-8 conversation. I do think the Warriors will get one of those spots. I do think they'll be a playoff team. And they can certainly be scary for an opponent early in those Western Conference playoffs. Do I think that they have a run in them to the Western Conference Finals or beyond? I don't. I still think age is a problem for them. I still think there are defensive things on the court that they're trying to figure out in this blend of young and old. And Jonathan Kuminga is going to come back from injury soon, and we really don't know how he's going to blend with Jimmy Butler. But there's no doubt that the Butler acquisition, it made them better. It gives them more credibility. It gives them more options in the final 5 minutes of basketball games. So I do think that will push them at least into the playoffs.
It's definitely going to be interesting to watch second half of the season. No doubt about that. Mark Willard, make sure you guys give him a follow on X at @Mark_T_Willard. Check him out, 95.7 The Game out in the Bay Area. Willard and Dibs, 2 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, weekdays, Monday through Friday. Mark, always great having you on, man. Enjoy the rest of the basketball season, baseball season as well. Hope to catch up again with you soon.
Anytime, PJ. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. All right, guys, let's continue previewing the San Francisco Giants here on Send It In. And again, this division is tough, right? You got the Dodgers, you got the Padres, you got the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Giants, you get some nice odds on them. 80-1 to win the World Series if you want to get that ambitious. 35-1 to win the National League. 30-1 to win the NL West. And as I was mentioning with Mark, +250 to make the playoffs if you like the San Francisco Giants. Really not any player awards that I would dabble with San Francisco. Logan Webb would probably be the smartest one with your money. He's 25 to 1 to win NL Cy Young. Really durable pitcher. He pitches in arguably the most pitcher-friendly ballpark in baseball. His sinker combination in that park, especially when it's nighttime and the wind's blowing in and it's really difficult to hit home runs. Logan Webb was just, he's the perfect pitcher in that ballpark. So maybe going with him 25-1 to win NL Cy Young, always a solid bet. As for like anybody on the Giants to win MVP or anything like that, like we were talking about with Mark, really, to be honest with you guys, like unless you really follow baseball, they got a lot of players on their team that probably a lot of people haven't heard of. They're going to need to strike gold with a couple of these guys. But look, the Giants are a great organization. It feels like every other year or once every 3 years, they do have a good team. They make a push to the postseason. It's just that National League is so brutal. They got the three teams in their division. Then they got the NL East to deal with the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets. I expect the Nationals to be much better. Somebody out of the NL Central's got to make it. The Cubs should be much improved. The Brewers are always a good team. So it's going to be tough this year for San Francisco. I think we need a higher price. I need something, to be honest, like +350, 4-1 to get involved on the Giants to make the postseason. So no interest in the Giants at all. I think the Giants this season are going to be a good under team. A lot of their games are going to be like 7.5, 7, but I think in a bunch of those games, the under is probably going to be the good look because I do expect their pitching to be pretty solid, especially early on in the season when all these guys like Robbie Ray and Justin Verlander, when all of them are healthy. But their lineup just has a lot of question marks, and they're relying on a lot of these pieces. They're trying to see which guys they can build around moving forward. So it's brutal that the division that they play in, they should have a good pitching staff, but nothing really I want to do with the San Francisco Giants. Their win total's at 79.5. Maybe you think about an under there. But to be honest with you guys, Giants, total pass for me for the 2025 season. But if you're a Giants fan, obviously just hoping that you can find some players, especially in that batting order, that you can build around moving forward. All right, let's talk some golf here on Send It In. Go a little golfing with Glasser. First round of the Genesis Invitational out at Torrey Pines. We are off and running this week in golf. Shawnee Sharpe, let's give us some afternoon three balls that we got. What's the first one up?
Yeah, Peach, the first one that we've got is Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, and Adam Scott at 114. Rory McIlroy is minus 120, Vic is plus 260, and Adam Scott is at plus 275.
You know what? For the price, Sean, I think Adam Scott might be the play. Now, I like Rory to win this week, and usually when Rory wins tournaments, he gets off to a hot start. He usually plays really well in round one, and I would expect him to play well today. But Adam Scott, I think, is going to have a really good week, too. Scoring is going to be difficult. It's going to be lower scores this week. The conditions are going to be tough. And for a guy like Adam Scott, he could go out there and shoot a one-under, a two-under, and that might be enough. So I think the price, and obviously the conditions that we're getting today out at Torrey Pines, I think Adam Scott, plus 275, Sean, I go with that one.
All right, next one we got here is also at 114, Siwoo Kim, plus 150, Aaron Rye, plus 190, or Billy Horschel at plus 190.
Let's go with Billy Horschel at plus 190. Siwoo, the rightful favorite, but I think the conditions today and Billy Horschel just playing tough golf courses, especially when it gets a little bit windy, when it gets rainy, U.S. Open-type golf, longer course. Billy, he just grinds it out, man, and he finds ways to make pars. He's got a really good short game. He can flight his ball in the wind very well. So it feels like to me there's a lot of boom or bust potential with Aaron Rye, Siwoo Kim potentially. I think Billy's probably the safest option, and I like getting his price at plus 190, so I'll go with Billy.
All right, next one here for you is at 1:58 p.m. Eastern Time, Patrick Cantlay at plus 138, Tommy Fleetwood plus 150, or Max Homa at plus 275.
You know what? Let's go with Tommy Fleetwood. Max Homa, something's wrong with him right now. I don't want any part of Max Homa. Great golfer, but just right now he's going through it. Patrick Cantlay is obviously super steady. He's one of the better golfers in the world, but Cantlay's track record on difficult golf courses is not very good. And Tommy Fleetwood, this is kind of the golf that he excels in, kind of like Billy Horschel. When par is a good score, you got to make tough pars. You got to be accurate this week. Keep it in the fairway. Hit greens. Got to be good approach play. That's what Fleetwood does. So, again, I like the price with Tommy. I would look at him plus 150.
All right, next one here is also at 1:58 p.m. Eastern Time. Shane Lowry at plus 150, Jason Day plus 160, or Stefan Jager at plus 230.
Yeah, it'd either be Lowry or Jay Day. We talked about a couple days on the show. Australians tend to play pretty well here at Torrey Pines because of the Poa grass. That's what they grew up on. So I like Adam Scott this week. I would understand a lot of people that like Jason Day, usually plays really well out in California, but I would actually go with Shane Lowry at plus 150. Shane's in great form. And again, I think because of the conditions and how difficult the course is, I would give the edge to him, get off to a good start. So I'll go with Shane at plus 150.
All right, now we're looking at 2:09 p.m. Eastern Time for tee times here. Ludwig Aubert at plus 150, Jordan Spieth plus 188, or Thomas Dietrich at 2-1.
You know what? I think this is my favorite three ball. So Jordan Spieth's playing really well. He was in contention at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Dietrich won the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And then you have Ludwig, who's kind of been a little sick. He's been battling some things. He played really well in the first two rounds at Torrey Pine 3 weeks ago. I think the fact he's teeing up this week tells me that he's back. He's ready to go. He's feeling better. And Ludwig's game should match up really well. Ludwig in his career so far, even though he's only been on tour a couple years, especially on these difficult courses, he's usually awesome on Thursday and Friday. And then we get to the weekend and he usually falls off. So for a round one bet, I think Ludwig, great bet. I'll go with him, plus 150.
All right, next up we got Willie Z at plus 138. Matt Fitzpatrick, easy for me to say, at plus 175. Or Adam Hadwin at plus 230.
Let's go with Willie Z, right? Torrey Pines is a U.S. Open golf course, and anybody that follows golf knows that U.S. Open tracks usually mean Willie Z towards the top of the leaderboard. These are kind of the courses he excels on. You need to drive the ball long, you need to hit it straight, and you need to putt well on fast greens. Willie Z does all three of those things, so I'll go with him at plus 138.
All right, two more here for you, Peach. At 2:20 p.m. each time, both these tee times. Maverick McNealy at plus 138, a guy that you're pretty high in. Harris English at plus 175, or Nick Taylor at plus 230.
Let's go with Harris English at plus 175. I do like Matt McNeely, but I like Harris English better for round one, and I like his price better at plus 175. He just won here 3 weeks ago, so he's got to be looking forward to getting back and teeing it up. Got some good vibes, some good memories of what happened pretty recently. And also, he's got good track record at Torrey Pines, not only just with the win 3 weeks ago, but in prior appearances too. So I'll go with Harris English at plus 175.
All right, last one here for you, Pete. It's a pretty marquee group here. Scotty Scheffler at plus 105, Colin Morikawa at plus 220, or Hideki Matsuyama at plus 250.
Yeah, really good group. So obviously, Scotty would be the smart money, right? You're getting him at plus money. He's still working his way back from injury. He hasn't been great, though, in the first round in these couple tournaments that we've seen him in Phoenix and at Pebble Beach. I think he could maybe get off to a little bit of a slower start today. I do see some value on Morikawa and Matsuyama, two guys that usually play really well on longer golf courses. So I would more so lean towards Hideki at plus 250, but I think Morikawa would be a good bet as well. Fade and Scotty, who, if I had to pick between the three of these guys, who would have the better finish this week, it would be Scotty, but for round one, I think there's some value on Morikawa and Matsuyama. All right, let's talk some college basketball here on Send It In. B-Mills, hey PJ, I'm with you on Rory this week. Took him at top five, plus 140. Parlay of him and Scheffler to be top 10 at plus 115. Also interested to hear who you got in the Maryland game tonight. B-Mills, I'm glad you asked because that's coming up in PJ's plays later on in the show. I think this is a great week, though, to take Rory and Scotty, right? There are certain weeks on the PGA Tour where you just roll with the chalk, and I think with how difficult the course should play this week, I think it's a good week to roll with Scotty and Rory. As for college hoops, we've been making our way through the seed lines here on Glassatology. Now we're going to look at the seven seeds projected right now by a bunch of bracketologists. We got Mississippi State, Creighton, Louisville, and Oregon as the projected seven seeds. I don't really like any of these teams, to be honest with you guys, outside of Oregon. That's the only team I like. Mississippi State is a fraud. They can't beat good teams. They beat teams that are worse than they are, but you ask them to beat a better team, they can't do it. They played seven ranked teams in SEC play. They're 1-6 in those games with their only win coming in overtime. They just don't beat teams better than them, so I want no interest in Mississippi State come March. Then we got Creighton. You got to give Greg McDermott a ton of credit. They lost one of their better players, Pop Isaac, earlier in the season. They've had to reinvent themselves a little bit, figure out how to play offense without him. And to their credit, they've done that. But this is still a team. I think their ceiling is probably Sweet 16, but I think they only win one game, if that, in the tournament. Then we got Louisville, who Louisville and Oregon are polar opposites of each other. Louisville was terrible in the non-conference this year. They could not beat an SEC team. They played Ole Miss, they got smacked. They played Tennessee, they got smacked. They played Kentucky, they lost that game too. And then they also played Oklahoma, and they lost to the Sooners. 0-4 against the SEC was Louisville, but they've been great in ACC play. Their margin of victory in ACC play is 17 points a game, and now everybody's like, ooh, Louisville, they could be dangerous. They're beaten up on a bad conference. We all saw what happened when they went up against some good teams in the non-con, so don't let what Louisville's doing in ACC play fool you. This is a team that you should want to fade come March. And then that brings me the Oregon Ducks. The reason that I say they're the opposite of Louisville is because Oregon is struggling in conference play, but they have been awesome in non-conference play. They played in one of the mid-season tournaments during Feast Week out in Vegas. They beat A&M, they beat San Diego State, and they beat Alabama. They had three really solid wins. Now they get into Big Ten play, where obviously they're traveling all over the country. They're trying to figure out all these different teams that they're playing up against, who they're going to be going up against year after year, and they're struggling. Dana Altman, Oregon's head coach, is elite in the tournament. He's 8-0 in his career in the first round of March Madness with Oregon. So usually when the Ducks get in, they're always good to make it to the round of 32. I think they could make it past that as well. So Oregon would be the 7 seed that I would keep an eye on. Then for the 8 seeds, we got Clemson, St. Mary's, Connecticut, and Baylor. We can throw away St. Mary's and Baylor. I want no interest with any of these teams. St. Mary's is the same team every year. Great program, good head coach in Randy Bennett, good defense. They play their style of play, but they get into March and they usually don't make any noise. So no St. Mary's for me. Baylor, You know, it's been funny. Like, the last 3 years, ever since Baylor really won the national championship, they were this awesome defensive team. But the last 3 or 4 years, Scott Drew's teams have not been able to play any defense. This team really is no different. I don't like Baylor heading into the tournament. UConn's the interesting one. Two-time defending national champions, had a great win against Creighton. I think more and more, a lot of people are going to start buying into UConn again. This team does not play defense, though. They're still 96th in KenPom in defense. And let's not forget, when they went out to Maui earlier in the season, they got swept out in Hawaii. UConn teams the last 2 years were incredible in non-conference play. This team is not, so no interest for me in Connecticut. And then Clemson, a team that I do think is interesting. They went to the Elite Eight last year. They returned Chase Hunter and Ian Sheflin from that team, and they did have a good non-conference. They played good defense, solid offense. Clemson, I think, could be an interesting team to watch. And then finally, looking at the nine seeds, we have Gonzaga, Utah State, West Virginia, and New Mexico. None of these teams, New Mexico and Utah State, the Mountain West teams, you can just throw them out year after year. Gonzaga, I'm throwing them out too. Zags haven't beaten anybody this season. They beat Baylor the very first game of the season out in Seattle. Ever since then, all the tournament teams that they've played, they've lost to. West Virginia, Kentucky, UCLA, St. Mary's, UConn, they lost to all these teams. I'm out on the Zags. West Virginia could be interesting, especially as a nine seed, because they have beaten some of the best teams in college basketball. They've beaten Arizona, they've beaten Kansas, they've beaten Iowa State, they've beaten Gonzaga, they've beaten tournament teams, they've beaten some higher teams. So as a nine seed, if West Virginia is able to get past the first round, could be an interesting upset pick potentially in the tournament. All right, let's get to the Lions Den. Check in with Lucy Burge. Give Lucy a follow on X at Lucille Burge, BetMGM network writer and host. Look at that smile. Man, is she excited, because she has a new infielder, Alex Bregman. Lucy, take it away. I mean, we literally talked about this yesterday, where Bregman would go. I think maybe they heard us, and now Alex Bregman is a Red Sox.
Yes, PJ, happy Alex Bregman Day. I am so happy waking up to this news, because I was not awake when this happened. Waking up to this, being like, wait, what happened? Am I dreaming? And I was not dreaming. My Fitbit did say that I was awake, and I was, oh, I had slept, you know, so many hours. This is very exciting. The Red Sox are back. That's the vibe now, is the Red Sox are back. The optics of this, almost as good as how now the team is on the field, because now the Red Sox are willing to spend. They're willing to spend money. The John Henry Instagram story that Linda Pizzuti, his wife, posted of him sitting in front of his regal fireplace, because he's a billionaire, don't you know, with a cigar, and he is celebrating this. This is very, very exciting, and now the Red Sox are back, and could they possibly be back to the mindset that they had back in 2004, where now it's, we want to win a World Series, and that's what we're going for. So now there's a lot of optimism. The optics are great. How the team shapes out, the lineup, and how the team shapes out on the field is very exciting. So now there's a lot to look forward to with this team during the bleak final weeks of ramping up through spring training to the season beginning.
Lucy, yesterday we were talking about the American League. You still feel like the Yankees are the team to beat, even with the Red Sox finally adding Alex Bregman. Do you still think it's the Yankees, or do you feel like the Red Sox maybe caught up to them?
This could be the year that the Red Sox do kind of leapfrog them in the standings and they win the division. We were talking about this yesterday too, PJ. I'm sure he was listening. And I was saying this to Shawnee Sharp before coming on here, that I did jinx them by jinx the Cubs or any other teams and reverse jinx the Red Sox by saying Cubs yesterday, so that then he would sign with the Red Sox. So I think he was watching. The Red Sox organization was watching. And they were like, you know what? We don't want this mindset out there that he's not going to sign here. So they signed him and they got it done. And now they are, you know, better team than the Yankees. If you think that the Red Sox can win the division and the Yankees will come in second in the division, +775 at BetMGM, which could be how it shapes out.
There you go. Lucy, in about 30 seconds, is the Astros' reign now over that they've lost Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman in the same offseason?
I mean, they still have some good spots and pieces in their lineup, but the bottom third of their lineup, it's a little shaky. Little Chaz McCormick said, we're going to surprise some people. I don't know about that. I don't know. Red Sox are better. Their odds to win the AL should be better right now. They're not, but they should be better than the Astros.
There you go. Lucy Burge, give her a follow, at Lucille Burge, BetMGM network writer and host. Just feeling good on this Thursday because she's got
beautiful
Alex
day.
Bregman. Lucy, congrats to you. We'll catch up again soon. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, PJ. You too.
All right, guys. A promo now from our friends at the BetMGM Network. We got a brand new lineup coming this Sunday at the BetMGM Network. It's the return of Sunday's Bets, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time with WFAN's Pat Boyle and Sean Marash. Then from noon to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we have PJ Glasser and Denton Day take you inside the betting lines, keeping you ahead of the live action as the game unfolds. And then it's Bet Nation live from Dallas, 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk. So make sure you guys check out our new lineup on Sunday. All right, we got about 40 seconds left here to wrap up the show. Our prop lock for today is going to be Kyrie Irving over 26.5 points at plus 100. Look, obviously Luke is gone. Anthony Davis is now gone too. Daniel Gafford's gone now too. Kyrie's just chucking, folks. He's done that the last two nights. He's gone over 30.5 points. I would expect him to throw up a bunch of shots too. We'll go over 26.5 points for Kyrie Irving. Dog of the day, I'm going to take Ludwig in that three ball against Spieth and Dietrich. I like his price at plus 150. Give me Ludwig in the first round three ball against Jordan and Thomas Dietrich. And then my best bet, B Mills, you wanted to know, Nebraska and Maryland. We're going with Nebraska today on the money line to get the win against the Terps. Maryland never plays well in Nebraska. They're not a good road team in Big Ten play. It's probably going to be a close game, but I think Nebraska edges them out. They find a way to win a tight one there in Lincoln. Thanks again to Mark Willard, Lucy Birch for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Going to have another good one tomorrow to wrap up the week. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.